evening to the book of Mark, chapter 6. This is Mark's account of what we read this morning in Matthew chapter 14. I'd like to read verses 45 through verse 51. Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through verse 51. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship, to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them, and into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. Again, this is Mark's account of what we read this morning in Matthew 14. So Matthew, Mark, and John all record this incident. Again, it's an incident that is filled with much instruction, much encouragement. It's an incident that involves a great storm, Jesus coming to the rescue of his people. We also know that both Matthew and Mark, in their accounts here, here in Mark chapter 6 and also in Matthew chapter 14, mention that it was the fourth watch that Jesus came. Notice here in Mark 6, verse 48, he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them. And then in Matthew 14, verse 25, and in the fourth watch. So Mark tells us it was about the fourth watch. Matthew says it was in the fourth watch of the night. Jesus went before them, walking on the sea. And we know that the Jews, of course, divided their evening into four watches. The first watch was from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. The second from 9 to 12. The third from 12 to 3. And the fourth from 3 to 6. 3 in the morning to 6 in the morning. And we are told here that Jesus came in the fourth watch, or about the fourth watch. And it's from that phrase that we want to take the subject of the message, the fourth watch. I believe today that we are living in the fourth watch. Just like a couple weeks ago, we preached upon the fact that we are living in the latter part of the sixth day. I believe also we are living in the fourth watch. In other words, it's getting very close for Jesus to come. It's getting very, very close for when Jesus will come and rescue us out of the storm. Amen. And we want to notice the time and circumstances of our text. Matthew, Mark, and Luke record that there was another storm before this storm, and we looked at that this morning, that the disciples had experienced a storm prior to this storm that we read of here in Mark 6 and also in Matthew 14. And in that storm that they had experienced prior to this, Jesus arose in the ship, stood and rebuked the wind, rebuked the sea, and we see that there was a great calm. So before the disciples got to this storm, it had already been revealed to them in a prior storm that Jesus Christ was the master of the storm, that Jesus Christ was the master of the wind. We also, Matthew, Mark, and John, all place what we just read of in our text after the feeding of the 5,000. So before they went into this storm that we're now reading of, it had been revealed to them that Jesus Christ was the all-sufficient one. He was everything they needed. He could provide everything they needed. And those two things have been revealed to you and I over and over and over again. That Jesus Christ is the master of the wind. That Jesus Christ is the all-sufficient one, having fed over 5,000 with a few loaves and a few fishes. And it has been revealed, these things have been revealed and shown to us over and over and over again. And as we enter into the fourth watch, and we enter into a storm that is, again, greater than ourselves, sometimes greater than our faith, many times greater than our strength, we need to remember these two lessons, that he is the master of the wind, he is the master of the storm, and he is the all-sufficient one. Now, Matthew and Mark, in their accounts, both record that they were traveling to the other side. Matthew 14, verse 22, and also Mark 6, verse 45. John put it this way, that they went over the sea toward Capernaum. In other words, they were headed toward Capernaum. They were headed toward the other side. So we see in all three accounts, we are told that these disciples were headed somewhere specific. When the storm came, they were moving toward a specific destination. Jesus said, "Let us pass over to the other side." And we must remember, as we go into the fourth watch, the child of God is always headed for the other side. No matter what our circumstances, no matter what happens in our lives, we are always headed for the other side. We are always headed for the heavenly shore. We're always headed for our safe haven. Nothing can change that. No storm can change that. No amount of waves can change that. No amount of wind can change our destination. Our destination is the other side. Now, on our way over to the other side, we may have to go through many, many storms. We may have to experience many, many winds. We may have to travel over many, many rough waters. But our destination never changes. It never changes. We're always headed for the same place. And even when it seems like we're not getting anywhere, when it seems like we're not making any headway, the truth is we're getting closer and closer and closer every day to our destination, which is the other side. We may have to experience much turbulence. We may have to even be brought at times to our wit's end, but the destination never changes. No matter how fierce this storm was, their destination was still the other side. And may I say, they safely reached the other side. We are headed for glory. And no storm can change that. We are headed for a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. There is no storm that can change that. We are headed for a city which builder and maker is God. Nothing can change that, you and I that are saved. We are headed for an inheritance that fadeth not away. And no, again, no storm, No amount of wind, no amount of waves, no matter how much the waves beat into our boat, nothing can change the fact that we are headed for our inheritance, that we are headed for the glorious liberty of the children of God, that we are headed for everlasting triumph, everlasting victory. That is our destination. And nothing changes that. We are headed for a life without death. We are headed for a joy without any sorrow, for a light without any darkness. We are headed for heaven. And nothing can change our destination. No matter what storm you may be going through right now, or no matter what storm you may yet experience, always keep in mind where you're headed. We're headed for heaven. And nothing at all can change that. Now, along the way, we may have to experience some difficulties. We may have to experience some trials, some sorrows, some afflictions. We may have to experience some sickness. We may have to experience some disease. We may have to experience some adversities and battles and struggles. But the destination remains the same. It never, ever changes. We're going to have to struggle with the filthiness and with the defilement and the vileness and the wickedness and the evil, the ungodliness, and all the abominations and all the blasphemy of the world. But none of that changes where we're headed. None of that changes our destination. As we live in the last days, as we live in the sixth day, as we live in the fourth watch, and as we live in perilous times, these things ought to encourage us, because we know the time is near. And nothing is going to change our destination. The destination remains the same. Along the way, there are the workings of Satan. Along the way, there are temptations that we have to endure. There are the wiles of the devil. There are the traps of the devil. There are the deceptions of the devil. But all the work of Satan cannot change our destination. It remains the same. So we must not lose sight of the haven. We must not lose sight of the glory that we're headed for. And John went again in John 6, verse 17, he says, they passed over the other side. Then consider the place and circumstance of these men. As we pointed out this morning, they are in the midst of the sea. Now, John recorded that they were about 25 to 30 furlongs out, about 3.5 miles out into the midst of the sea. And that's when the storm came. In the middle of nowhere, when there was no turning around, that's when the storm came. So there they are in the midst of the waters. And we read the great wind blew in John 6 and verse 8, verse 17. In the midst of those waters, they were tossed with the waves. We read in Matthew 14 and verse 24. We read that it was there that the wind was contrary. It was there that their boat began to fill with water. It was there that they were toiling in rowing. In other words, they had become fatigued with their struggles against the waves, with their struggle against the wind, with their struggle against the storm. In the midst of those waters, with their boat in danger of sinking, they are being tossed about violently to and fro. It was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. They appeared to be alone. And how many times, as we live in the fourth watch, out in the midst of the waters, with really, you can't go back, where are you going to go to? We've gone too far to go back. It's utter foolishness. At this point, out in the middle, to go back. And may I say, had they gone back, they would not have experienced Jesus coming unto them in the midst of the sea. So we can't go back. There's no place to go. There's no place to turn. And we see exhaustion is setting in. And Jesus was not yet come to them. In other words, some of them, I'm sure, by this time were asking, where is he? Where is the Lord? Where is the Savior? Where is Jesus? Questions are beginning to flood their minds, and doubts, no doubt, are beginning to fill their minds. And this is the way it is for many today of God's people. They are in the midst of the sea. It is in the fourth watch. It is the dawning of a new day. The dawning of a new day is very near. And their minds are filled with doubts. And as they look around what's going on around them, they begin to ask, where is the Lord? Where is the Lord in all of this? Why is this happening? Why is such and such a happening? Why does God allow this? And the doubts begin to come. But again, it was in the fourth watch. And it was a time of great peril. And as Paul told Timothy, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Difficult times shall come. Trying times shall come. Hard times shall come. Violent times shall come. Threatening and dangerous times shall dominate in the last days, shall dominate in the fourth watch. Perilous times speak of times of great stress, speak of times that are very, very difficult for the flesh to deal with and very hard for the flesh to bear with. And that's where we are today. But we're in the fourth watch also. And Jesus is coming. He's coming very soon. So we see there they are out in the midst of the sea. The winds are swirling. Violently, the waves are rising. It appears that all is in jeopardy. Fear is settling in their hearts. Uncertainty is filling their minds. And Jesus appears to be absent. And even if that be the case today, in your own heart and mind, don't forget your destination. Don't forget where you're headed. We're headed to the other side. And Matthew, Mark, and John all record that while this storm was going on, Jesus had ascended to a mountain. Matthew 14, 23, Mark 6, 46, and John 6, verse 15. And Mark specifically mentions in Mark 6 and verse 48, while Jesus was in that mountain, he saw them toiling in rowing. There was in the fourth watch, and Jesus was in the mountain, and he saw them struggling against the storm. He saw exhaustion setting in, and he sat and he watched. Nothing escaped his eye. So it is today. He sits up at the right hand of God. He knows exactly when he's coming to rescue us. He can see us toiling against the storm. He can see us struggling against the storm. And there he sits at the right hand of God. As the accomplisher of his work, he sits there as the honored one for us. He sits there as the conqueror of all our enemies. And again, he knows exactly when he will descend to come and rescue and deliver his people. And then keep in mind, again, Matthew 14 and verse 25, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them. And Mark says it was about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them. Mark used the word about, reveals that it was about 3 a.m., the darkest part of the night. When it got to be the darkest, that's when Jesus came. That's when he came to the rescue. And that's why I believe today it's going to get darker, folks. It's going to get darker. But don't forget where you're headed. And don't forget who's coming. Jesus Christ is coming. So we are living in the fourth watch of the day. What does that mean? That means that you and I ought to keep on. For Jesus is coming. Now's not the time to give in. Now's not the time to quit. Jesus has promised to return. He has promised to come and to rescue us from this storm. Now's not the time to get discouraged. We're in the fourth watch. Romans 13 and verse 12, we read, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand." And I believe that's what it means when we're in the fourth watch. The night is far spent. We're almost done. We're almost finished. And the day, the most glorious day that you and I will ever know, is at hand. The judge standeth at the door. At any moment, we could be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. At any moment. But there shouldn't be any doubt in anybody's mind that we are living in the fourth watch. Sure, the storm rages. The winds might be getting more and more severe, and they may seem to be coming from all directions, and the waves may be rising higher and higher and higher, and your boat may be ready to sink, but keep on. Keep on rowing. Keep on toiling. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give in to the storm. We're in the fourth watch. Jesus is coming. He's coming at any moment. It could be at any day now. He's coming. And when he does, the storm is going to cease for you and I. And it'll just begin for this world. So it's the fourth watch. And any moment, Jesus can come. We see also the end result of Jesus coming, and that is the wind ceased. We don't know what we're going to have to endure before Jesus comes. Perhaps not much more, perhaps a lot more. We don't know. But we do know that when he comes, for the child of God, the storm's going to end. The storm is going to be over. Right now, we find ourselves in the midst of the sea. The winds are blowing, and at times the winds threaten us and seem to threaten our very lives. The winds are contrary. That is, they are opposing forces. But we're in the fourth watch. We're in the fourth watch. And when Jesus comes, the wind will cease. The storm will be over. It's not going to be long. And people say, "Oh, I've been hearing that all my life." Well, it's getting closer every day. It's not going to be long. And may I say, when he does come, not only will the storm cease, they will be forever over. Never again will we experience another storm. Never. And we will safely reach the other side. And all three writers, Matthew, Mark, and John, all record that they safely reached their destination. So don't give up. Don't quit. Keep on. Keep on toiling. Keep on struggling. Because again, it's the fourth watch. And Jesus is coming soon. Jesus came, and Matthew says that they worshiped him. There in Matthew 14 and 33. And we're living in the fourth watch. And Jesus is coming. And when he does, you and I will fall down and worship him as we never have before. It is then that we will be able to worship him like we ought. So the storm is almost over. To us that are saved, it has been revealed to us throughout our lives that Jesus is the master, Jesus is the ruler of the storm. He's in complete control. I'd be scared to death today if I didn't know that God is in control of everything. I'd be scared to death today. We'd worry ourselves sick if we did not know that everything was moving according to God's plan. And everything's right on schedule. And it's the fourth watch. And Jesus is coming. And again, when he does, the storm will be over. It's been revealed to us that Jesus is the sufficient and great miracle worker. And though we live in perilous times, he's in control. And he is the great miracle worker. So again tonight, don't forget where you're headed. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't ever forget where you're headed. We're headed for a glorious future. God's people talk as if the future is gloom and doom. Well, it is as far as this earth is concerned. But my future is far from gloom and doom. My future is filled with glory. The glory of heaven. And that's where I'm headed. And even when it doesn't seem like I'm making any headway, I'm getting closer every day. Getting closer by the minute. It's exciting to know that we're living in a time in which no other people have ever lived. Amen. We live in the very last days. We live in the fourth watch. We're living in the latter part of the sixth day. Jesus is coming. There's no need for you and I, as God's people, knowing what we know, believing what we believe, there's no need to be depressed. There's no need to be discouraged. There's every reason to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Our redemption is getting closer and closer and closer. So what I want you to remember tonight is remember your destination. Remember where you're headed. And remember we are living in that fourth watch. Jesus is coming very soon. And no matter what you face, what you might have to face, nothing can change your destination. Nothing can change that. No matter what happens, nothing can change that. I'm headed for heaven. Nothing can change that. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.